How many of you remember a fellow by the name of Chad Everett? Yeah, some of you are telling your age here, okay. Chad Everett was the actor who played Dr. Gannon on Medical Center. Way, way, way back in the day, as they say. Okay? Now, one of the things that I recall about Dr. Gannon is one of the advertisements that he was in. And if I remember correctly, I think it was a Bayer aspirin commercial that he would begin that commercial by saying, "I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV." You remember that?
Yeah,
you know. And so really that statement that he made, you know, in that advertisement was an expression of saying, look, when you see me on TV as a doctor, that's not really who I am. Okay? That's just an act. Okay? But yet, that's how people saw him. Okay? To a lot of people, that's who he was Dr. Gannon. Now, the reason I mention that to you and introduce it that way is because, you know, I think that there's a lot of people today who, if they really did an honest assessment, would really need to say something like, "I'm not a Christian, but I play one on Sundays." I have your attention? Yeah. You see, we're focusing right now on striving for excellence. Okay? That's what we talked about last week in introducing our focus and our emphasis in striving to be a church of excellence. And so I want to direct our attention this morning for a few minutes on the idea of each of us striving for excellence in Christian living. Okay? In other words, that has to do with not what we do on Sundays simply, but it has to do with how we live our life every day. You see? So that none of us would be able then to say and have to say to someone, "I'm not a Christian, but I play one on Sundays," but rather we'd be able to say, "Yes, I'm a Christian. And I'm striving to live my life more excellently for Jesus every day." So let's talk for a few minutes about striving for excellence in Christian living. I want to call your attention to the text that Ray read for us as we begin. 1 John chapter 1. Turn in your Bible there, if you would, for just a moment. Let's talk about this idea of staking our claim. Okay? And the idea here is that, you know, there a lot of people make a lot of bold claims about things, you see? And all you have to do is watch TV for a matter of about 5 minutes during the commercials, and you hear a tremendous amount of bold claims that are made, don't you? The question is not, you know, the claims themselves, but it's whether or not you can back up the claims. I don't know if you realize it or not, but ladies, you can go from a size 12 to a size 6, lose those inches quickly, and do absolutely nothing but take a pill. Yeah. That's one of the bold claims that's out there. And of course, all of these different exercise and weight loss things, you know, and so forth, saying, you know, you can lose, you know, 4 dress sizes in 2 weeks, you know, or you can lose X number of pounds in 30 days, and all these claims. Well, I don't know about some people, but I'm here to tell you, okay, they don't work. Okay? They don't work. It takes a lot of hard work, and even with all that hard work, I'm fine. It's not easy to lose that weight. Okay? So there's a lot of bold claims made about those kinds of things. Guys, have you ever wanted to get more power and better gas mileage out of your car? Mm-hmm. Well, all you have to do is buy the fuel genie. Okay? Buy the fuel genie and install it in your car, and it goes into the air intake on your car, and it's guaranteed, it's promised to give you more power and better gas mileage. The only problem with that is that Consumer Reports has tested several of those different kinds of things, and they say none of them work. So save your money. But again, here's an example of bold claims that people make that simply aren't true. Well, what does that have to do with us? Well, it has to do with what we see in verse 6 of 1 John chapter 1. Okay? Look at what John has to tell us here in this. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. You see, that's talking about what we're claiming to do versus what we're actually doing in our lives. And he identifies that kind of a claim as a lie. You see? It's really not a whole lot different from all those claims that we hear about and read about, as I just shared with you. They're lies. And John is calling upon us to really, first of all, to check the claims that we're making about ourselves. This is a serious claim. This isn't just about losing a couple of dress sizes or pants sizes. This isn't about getting better gas mileage in your car. This is about a car. This is about a... See? So I suggest to you that it's a whole lot more serious. Wouldn't you agree with that? You see? But it's about the claims that we make. If we claim to be with Christ, but yet our walk is not in accordance with what we claim, then we're a liar. You realize that 73% of Americans claim to be Christians. 73%, that's what the polls indicate. Okay? 73% of the people across this country claim to be Christians. Now, I've got a problem with that, basically because if that were true, if 73% of the people in this country really were Christians, then why do we have so much immorality in America? See? If it were true that 73% of the people in America are Christians, then why are Two and a Half Men, Modern Family, and Breaking Bad some of the most popular TV shows that are out there right now? Why are they so popular? If 73% of the people in this country were really Christians? The answer is because there are a lot of folks who are claiming but aren't living up to the claim. They're doing exactly what John is talking about here. They are claiming to have fellowship with Christ, but yet they're walking in darkness. You see, we have a problem with that in our culture, in our country. There are a lot of people who like to claim to follow God, but they're not living up to the claim. Okay? And again, how important is that and how serious is it? It's eternally important. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 and following, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons? And in your name do many wonderful works?' And then I will say to them, 'Depart from me, I never knew you, you who work iniquity.'" You understand what Jesus is saying right there. It's not enough to just claim Him as Lord and to call Him your Lord. We've got to be living our life in accordance with His Word. See? And that's what brings us to the very next verse and the next topic here. walking the walk. Because that's really what it's all about. It's not about talking the talk. It's about walking the walk, as the saying goes, you see. And it's real easy to talk the talk. But what God's calling upon us to do is to walk in His light. Look at verse 7. But, and that's a contrast that He's making here, by the way, by that word, okay? All right? It's a contrast between what He has just talked about, that is, those who are claiming but yet aren't walking, to those who are claiming and walking. He says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And that, by the way, is fellowship. The one another is with Him. Okay? We have fellowship with one another. And the blood of His Son purifies us from all sin. It's conditional. Okay? If is an important word there. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we have fellowship with Him. And the blood of His Son purifies. That word in the Greek language for purifies is in the present tense. So what that means is that it is ongoing. And so literally what it's saying is, as long as we're walking in the light, His blood is continuing to purify us. But again, the conditions are we've got to walk in the light. So you see, it's not really just a matter of what we're claiming to do, but it's a matter of actually doing it. Now, for those of you who may be sitting there going, but I can't do that because I can't be perfect. Well, you don't have to be perfect. That's not His point. By the way, that's why as long as you walk in the light, His blood continues to do what? Purify us of our sins. If you were perfect, you wouldn't have to have Him continue to purify you of your sins. You see? Now, does that make you feel a little bit better? It should. You see? God knows how difficult it is to live in this human life. And His provision has been, you walk in My light. As long as you're walking in My light, I will continue to wash away your sins through the blood of My Son. But we've got to walk the walk, you say. Because it's not enough just to claim to do so. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, Jesus said, if anyone would come after Me, he must... Oh, wait a minute. Must. That's an important word here too, isn't it? How optional is it when we have the word must? It's not, is it? Okay? Must removes all the options here, okay? All right? He must. He must deny himself and take up his cross. How often? Daily. Daily. So you see, what Jesus is talking about is our everyday life, our everyday walk in life. It's how we live from day to day. That's why as we began this morning, I talked about that whole idea of saying, well, I'm not a Christian, but I play one on Sundays. It's not enough to just do it on Sundays. You see? It's an everyday thing that God calls us to live our life daily for Him. Say, take up your cross daily and come after Him. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, then our fellowship with Him is complete. Say, but there's one other thing we've got to do. When was the last time you took your temperature? Yeah. We got to do a temperature check. Okay? Now what I mean by that, well, Turn over to Revelation chapter 3, and you'll see what I mean by that. Look at what the words of Jesus are to the church in Laodicea. Okay? Beginning in verse 14, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, "These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation." Verse 15, "I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth." Do you realize and understand the significance of those statements? See? What is Jesus really trying to tell us? Well, what he's saying here is, you know what? Lukewarmness really is detestable to God. It is so detestable to God that he'd rather you be cold, that is, turned off from him, not have anything to do with him, than to be lukewarm. He says, "I wish you were either cold or hot, but not lukewarm." So you either have something to do with me, you either follow me, you either live your life for me, or don't. But don't sit on the fence in the middle and pretend to be something that you're not. That's what he means. Because lukewarmness is so detestable to him. Why is that? Why would God prefer that someone not have anything to do with him than to pretend to? Because of the hypocrisy and the damage that lukewarmness does to his kingdom. That's why. When we claim to be his, but yet we don't even try to live our life the way he wants us to. He says, "I'd rather you didn't even try. Just don't. Be cold. I'd rather you were cold than to do that." Brethren, those are harsh words, aren't they? To know that God, though he wants all men to come to repentance, he doesn't want anyone to perish. But he'd rather have someone be cold and have nothing to do with him than have someone pretend to be following him and not be true at it. And so we truly need to check our temperature. In the movie Fireproof that we're getting all of our couples to view, there's a scene in that movie that expresses this very sentiment. It's at the point where the main character, Caleb, accepts Christ into his life. And he comes, you know, to the fire station, and he talks to the lieutenant there, who is his friend, and this lieutenant is a Christian, and he shared his faith with Caleb some and so forth. And Caleb comes in after finding the Lord, and he expresses to him, he says, "I need to talk to you." He says, "It's about your faith." And the other guy says, "Well, what about my faith?" And Caleb says, "I'm in." And the other fellow says, "What do you mean you're in?" He says, "I'm in." And he says, "Well, are you in? Are you really in?" And he says, let me see here. He says, "You can't be half in and say you're in. If you're in, you gotta be all the way in." And I like that statement, you see? You can't be halfway in. You see, Jesus calls upon us to be either in or out, but not halfway in. You see, it's one or the other. You can't be in the middle somewhere. You see, because he doesn't want any of us to be lukewarm. We're either in or we're out. God wants us all to be in. But he doesn't want anybody to be in the middle of the road. We're getting ready to sing a song here in just a moment. an invitation song. The Lord's invitation is open to anyone to respond to that. And here's the question I want you to be thinking about while we're singing this song. Are you in or are you out? Or perhaps have you been trying just to be in the middle and be lukewarm? I want you to think about that. Where are you? Are you hot or are you cold? Or are you just lukewarm? If you're honest with yourself and you see that, you know, maybe you've just been kind of lukewarm, you haven't really been all the way in, then I want to encourage you to take a real hard look and to say, look, I need to decide whether I'm going to be in or whether I'm going to be out, because I can no longer be lukewarm. I hope that if that's where you are, is that lukewarm situation, that you will decide finally to be in, to be hot. You say, but you may need some help with that. You may need some encouragement or some guidance. There may be something that's going on in your life that Satan has really got you bound up in. And you need some help to overcome that. That's what we want to do. We can't help you if we don't know what's happening. So the Lord's invitation is open to you. If you're already a Christian, but maybe you just realize, hey, I'm not being what God wants me to be, and I've been sitting on the fence for too long, it's time for you to get in, all the way in. If you're not a Christian yet, you haven't given your life to Christ, your sins are still separating you from God, and I want you to know that you can remedy that right now. If you believe that Jesus is Lord, and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then confess Him as such. Repent of your sins that are separating you from God, and you can have those sins washed away in baptism right now. You don't have to wait. You can do it right now, and you can be in. Okay? The Lord's invitation is open to you. Dale will be in the back. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone that, if you'd like to have a private prayer or conversation with him back there, I'll be up here to receive you. All you have to do is let us know what we can do to help you to be striving, say, for excellence in your daily life as a Christian. Let's stand together and sing. Steve?